The road to a future of driverless cars has been getting kind of bumpy. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino. Autonomous vehicles are here, and they're causing some problems. Reports over the past year show General Motors' Cruise vehicles, or Alphabet's Waymo cars, have been occasionally getting glitchy in cities like San Francisco and Phoenix, shutting down in the middle of traffic, nearly colliding with a light rail train. Andrew Hawkins is the transit editor for The Verge and says driverless cars are in a confusing moment. Most of the time, they work remarkably well, until they don't. It's the latest for an industry beset by both technological and financial challenges.
I think we've seen over the last year or so, mass layoffs hit a lot of the companies that are working on autonomous vehicle projects. In addition to that, there have been a lot of negative headlines about the rollout of autonomous vehicles, especially in cities like San Francisco, where you see companies like Cruise and Waymo really ramping up their robo-taxi services and being met with a lot of outright hostility from the people who live in the cities. And that's because the vehicles are not acting as perfectly, I think, as they were originally portrayed. They are blocking traffic. They are rear-ending city buses. They are getting confused. And it just seems like we're in this sort of strange liminal period right now in which the autonomous vehicles are coming out. They exist. They're real, despite some predictions that they are actually not going to make their way onto our public roads. They are actually on public roads, and they are making money for some of these companies. But I think we're in this sort of strange in-between period in which we're experiencing the very well-predicted tensions between these robot-driven cars and our very human-centered infrastructure and street and road system in the United States.
Are there specific technical issues that have proven difficult to overcome?
The issue that we're facing, I think, with a lot of the vehicles today is what's referred to as the long tail of nines, that you can get a vehicle that is 99.9% as good as a human driver, and you never actually get to 100%. And that's because of something that's referred to as edge cases. So these are the things that are sort of unpredictable events that occur out on the road. It's almost impossible to ever get to the point in which the vehicle is at the same level or even better than, because that's what we're really going for here, a technological system in which that is, it's not just as good as human driving, but it has to be order of magnitude better in order to make the case for itself that this is something that we should replace the current system that we have today.
Yeah, a lot of the sort of problems that have arisen have seemed sort of low stakes in nature, near misses, things that didn't result in injuries or anything. I mean, what do these kinds of problems tell us about where this technology is and kind of what the remaining challenges are?
A couple of things, but I think most importantly, it's that as human beings, we have an extremely high tolerance for human-caused chaos, crashes and death that occur on the road, and an extremely low tolerance for any sort of problems caused by robots. And that's just because of we've sort of trained ourselves over generations to assume a certain amount of risk when we get into our vehicles in the morning and drive to work, or we step out onto the street and interact with cars out on the street, that it's very possible that, we might crash our car or that a car might run into us and kill us. And that's just a risk that we've accepted as human beings in order to have these vehicles that can take us where we want and to sort of have the freedom to drive as much as we do. But when those cars are driven by robots, all of a sudden, all of that tolerance and all of that risk acceptance evaporates almost immediately. And if it's a robot that's responsible for the mistake, the crash, the traffic jam, that's when the fingers start being pointed and the blame starts flying, because we're very used to the former system, but we have really no experience at all with the system that's about to come.
When it comes to the market potential for this technology, one report from Intel predicted a $7 trillion economy by 2050. I mean, does that seem realistic?
Oh, yeah. They were just laughably off base, which is not to say that this won't eventually start to bring in revenue. It's certainly not at the moment. I mean, some of the companies are able to charge for their rides, but there's some regulatory hurdles still. And it's a question of whether or not they'll actually begin to see a return on that investment, because the technology has cost hundreds of billions of dollars. And I think that that's why you're seeing a lot of contraction right now. Startups that are shutting down, layoffs, consolidation, pauses in commercial deployment. You know, this is an industry that is very much a product of a zero interest rate pre-pandemic environment. And that's not the environment anymore.
Is there anything that's going well for AVs?
Yeah. I mean, the companies that are on the road and are doing the testing and have sort of been at the forefront, they are continuing to expand. Yes, they've had to lay off employees and maybe they've had to go a little bit slower than usual. But it does seem that very slowly this technology is spreading out over the country. And, you know, it stands to reason that it will eventually start to touch more people's lives, and people will start to see how it actually can sort of integrate with their lives, and whether or not this is a product and a commercial service that they would want to use. Because after a certain point, they're not going to be competing against each other or what have you. They'll be competing with human-driven transportation systems, things like Uber and Lyft. I really do think it's going to be kind of an open question as to, you know, how quickly they can get these cars out on the road, in what markets are they going to be focused on, and does it have the opportunity to become anything more than just sort of like a fad or a tourist attraction for people, that you go to San Francisco, you ride the autonomous taxi, you take some selfies of yourself, and then you go back to your human-driven lives. I don't think that that's what any of these companies actually want, but I think that there is sort of a piece missing still to ensure that they're going to be able to get over that sort of hump and onto sort of a bigger market and more possibilities for them in the future.
Andrew Hawkins at The Verge. If you're hoping to get your selfie in the backseat of a driverless car, like Andrew said, San Francisco is a good place to start. But Phoenix is also home to a growing AV population. Waymo is starting to roll out driverless cars in Los Angeles. You can get on the wait list to be one of their first passengers. Maybe I should do that. Cruise is expanding into Texas, with cars already running in Austin and soon to be in Houston. We've got links to all that information, along with plenty of reporting on AV-related traffic problems, at our website, marketplacetech.org. Rosie Hughes produced this episode. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.